And welcome to the program. Omar Khadr is back on trial in Guantanamo next week for the first time since his lawyer collapsed in August. He's been held by the Americans for 8 years, mostly in the prison they call Camp Justice in Cuba. Guantanamo's something of a trial for journalists, too, as Carol Rosenberg will tell you. She's been called the dean of Gitmo correspondents. She first went there for the Miami Herald in 2002, before the prisoners even arrived. She put in 150 days that year, then just quit counting. And she has her own story to tell in this week's guest essay.
Guantanamo's Camp Justice is a place where you can only sit at your laptop or by your phone if there's a member of the military with an earshot, a public affairs officer. Nice people, mostly, at times embarrassed or annoyed to be sitting there. But no police reporter wants a uniformed cop a few feet away while he writes his story, interviews sources, or asks an editor for space. It's a place where you can go to court only in the custody of a military public affairs officer. Inside, if there's only one escort, this happened this summer, and somebody has to go to the bathroom, every reporter has to leave court too. It's a place where a soldier stands over your shoulder, looks through your viewfinder, and says, "Don't you take that picture. I'll delete it." This happened this summer. It's a place where reporters are considered guests of the government. In court, that's the prosecution. The government controls the flights, the tents, the phones, the $100-a-week internet, even the toilet trailer. And it's a place where the Pentagon believes it can forbid you from including in your story the name of a man, a military interrogator, who was court-martialed for detainee abuse. It's a place where if you ask why, they tell you, "That's the rules, ma'am." If you say that wasn't the rule a year ago or a month ago, they shrug and say, "That's the rule. That's today's rule. You can't write that man's name anymore." Even though I learned his name after the interrogator rang up reporter Michelle Shepard at the Toronto Star and gave her an interview. "To clear his name," he said, in 2008. I go to Guantanamo to write about a place the government intentionally chose to be outside the rule of law. The U.S. Supreme Court decided otherwise. It's a place the Pentagon likes to call the most transparent detention center on Earth. Hundreds of reporters have visited there, they say, since the first Al-Qaeda suspects arrived 8 years ago. They skip the part about how few go back more than once, stymied by the sheer frustration at the rules, the hoops, the time, and the cost of being a court reporter, writing a feature story, conducting an interview, engaging in the most fundamental work of journalism, to learn as much as you can, to read as much as you can, to question as much as you can, and to go to court, watch, and write the very best story you can about that day's testimony. People ask me what it's like to be a reporter at Guantanamo. It's hard. And not just because we sleep in tents with ventilators and generators that sound like you're inside a jet engine. Nearly everyone else expected in court that day gets housing. The lawyers have trailers, the translators get townhouses, and the judge and juries get guest quarters. The reporters get tents because if you protest, guess what they say? Don't come. It's hard to be a reporter at Guantanamo because when you ask to read a court document, find out who testified under subpoena, get a copy of a video already leaked to a major U.S. news network, the answer is no. This summer, I covered a really crucial crossroads hearing for Omar Khadr. He's from Toronto, was captured near dead in Afghanistan at age 15. The Pentagon says he's a terrorist who should be locked up for life. He's 23 now. And he fired his legal team, revealed a secret U.S. offer of a plea deal, announced a boycott, and said that, well, maybe after a third of his life at Guantanamo, he'd like to function as his own lawyer. It's more than a month later, and they still won't give me a copy of the motion that was argued. I've covered U.S. Supreme Court arguments and murder and mayhem trials. I've reported spy cases and done gavel to gavel of a court-martial. This is a court like none other I've ever seen. You can't get up in the morning and stand online to cover it. You can't bring a lawyer to protest if there's a closure. The public and the press have no standing. Increasingly, you can't read the motions in advance. You can't ask the lawyers during a break to clarify something. You can't go home at night. You can't check into a hotel. Guantanamo is a place where you get assigned seats in court. And if you're me, you usually get one of the two or three seats that can't see the witness stand, even if the media gallery is mostly empty. It wasn't always that way. When the court opened in 2004, reporters were VIPs, afforded the best seats, and during breaks, the lawyers would lean over the bar and explain, amplify. We stayed in guest quarters. Now in court, according to the ground rules, you can't talk to the lawyers, even if they want to be quoted. It's a place where for years the prison would scrupulously provide the exact number of captives being force-fed. This summer, it stopped. I protest. I ask again, how many of the 180 are being fed through tubes? Answer, about half of less than 10. Huh? It's a place where one day in the cafeteria, your escort harps on you to display your media badge. Then another tells you to put it away because it's creeping out the troops. It's a place where they say you can never take pictures at McDonald's, but I have, with permission and an escort. It's a place where they clear the court so only those with security clearances can see a video of a CSIS agent questioning Omar Khadr. We go back to the filing center and watch it on YouTube. A Canadian court released it more than a year ago. Some of the treatment seems petty, like this. They control the access to food and somehow forget there are Muslims and vegetarian reporters. Some years back, an officer with the Louisiana National Guard declared it too inconvenient to let us get dinner, sent us back to our quarters with a stack of pork pizzas. Two journalists from Canada who had been working all day went hungry till breakfast. Minor stuff? Not if you're trying to do your job. Now they've got a new expansive interpretation of military censorship authority. A colleague calls it a bid to impose collective amnesia on reporters of things we've known for years. I say, protect the secrets that are secret, not the prerogative. Don't create a bunch of ad hoc rules that keep us from doing our jobs. Some days we can't challenge them all. They come too fast, without rhyme or reason. For Dispatches, I'm Carol Rosenberg in Miami.
Carol Rosenberg is a correspondent with the Miami Herald newspaper, and she's been covering the Guantanamo hearings longer than any other journalist on the beat. She is in Miami.